Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And as we begin this week on a special Memorial Day edition of the Weekly Worldview, welcome. Yes, happy Memorial Day to everyone out there. Should I address Memorial Day before we go any further? I think I'll address Memorial Day. This is a special edition of the Weekly Worldview, mainly because my flight got canceled, mainly because the airline overbooked by 200 or 300% from what I could see. There's like 500 people sitting in the gate, and the plane holds 180 people. It was outrageous. Anyway, so that's why we're a day late, but we're not a dollar short. Actually, we're $40 short, because that's how much the Uber costs from the airport, because I couldn't bring myself to call the people who had just dropped me off at the airport to come and get me again. So, anyways, where was I now? Now I'm all distracted by how upset I was by that whole situation. But Memorial Day. So just so everyone knows out there, and I don't think people do anymore, Memorial Day is not a shout-out to all you great veterans. It's not what it is, okay? The Memorial Day is not a shout-out to the living. It should be a sober and dignified memorial for those killed in the wars that have made us free. That's what it should be. But it's not. Now it's a thank you for your service. You already thanked me for my service. Stop groveling. You know, I want to thank, you know who I want to thank? Some of the military for their service. It's in fact, not even some. In fact, only a very few. In fact, only the ones who died. That's what Memorial Day is about. And I certainly don't want to thank the perverts and the queers and the Marxists running the Pentagon. We'll get to some of that. They're not all heroes, okay? Joining the military doesn't automatically qualify you to be groveled by Sean Hannity, even though he's just because he's a loser and he doesn't have a lot of self-confidence and all that. But anyway, we'll get to some of that, okay? I got this story from my extremely attractive audio engineer. Finds itself in the No Good Guys file, where Lydia Booth is a 9-year-old victim in the making there in the great state of Mississippi. Listen to the story. This is from the Alliance Defending Freedom. I don't even want to get on with those guys. All right, here we go. Lydia's public school required face masks due to COVID-19, Lydia chose a mask with the words "Jesus loves me" on it. And that's all great and fine for the kid, okay? She's a 9-year-old. God bless her. Okay, I'm glad. But a note to the Alliance Defending Freedom, who's sending out this fundraising shill letter here, because that's what this is about. They go, "Alliance Defending Freedom is standing with Lydia. We also want you to stand with her. Send us some money," a big red donate button. First of all, for you lawyers at Alliance Defending Freedom, Lydia's public school did not require face masks due to COVID-19. Okay, we all know that 9-year-olds don't get it. They don't give it. They could care less about it. Her public school required face masks because of the hysteria and popular delusion surrounding this particular virus. That's why, yeah. And, oh, by the way, why is the Alliance Defending Freedom standing with Lydia? Because Lydia's public school teacher told her she couldn't wear her mask at school. Her face mask. Okay, is there any other kind of mask except a face mask? Oh, there's an eye mask. And then there's the mask you get after a facial. Okay, well, that's a face mask, too. They're all face masks. I mean, masks only go on the face. So I think the word face is redundant there. I don't think we need that. So anyway, here you've got a Christian family sending their daughter into a godless government school, and now they're going to have a lawsuit over the godlessness and the hysteria and the tyranny that's being imposed upon them by the godless, tyrannical system that they voluntarily feed their daughter into every day. So there's just no good guys in the story, except Lydia. Lydia, you know, because she's just a kid. You can't really hold the kid accountable. She doesn't know. 9 years old, for crying out loud. Although she probably knows the masks are stupid. All right. Let's see. What do we open with? I wanted to open. We were going to talk about the 22 people shot at a concert in Miami, or near Miami. Another mass shooting. I mean, and this is one shooting in the Miami area that almost matches the casualty count of the entire holiday weekend in Chicago. That was 28 shot. Same death toll, too, so far. Police believe that the shooting at the Miami concert was targeted, meaning it wasn't just a random, let's shoot everybody. It was I'm going to try to kill that other gangster, but I'm not a very good shot, and I shot like 20 other people. That's what they think happened. It's still a mass shooting. It's just depressing how it's just sad. In fact, let's do something funny. Now I don't want to depress anyone. It's Memorial Day. From the Just Desserts file, Atlanta defund the police backer and councilman Antonio Brown was attending a ribbon-cutting ceremony around noon last week when four punks jumped into his car and took off, stealing his car right in front of him in broad daylight as he calls to defund the Atlanta police. That's right, the Just Desserts file. Thank you very much. What's it? Antonio Brown? I thought he was a football player. Maybe a basketball player? Maybe a baseball player. Anyway, he was one of those, I thought. But this is maybe a different guy. All right, so let's go from there into the insurrection file, where the Daily Wire reported on Antifa. Yeah, Antifa. So summer is here now. It's Memorial Day weekend. They say it's the unofficial start to summer. It's fairly official, you know. Antifa attacked law enforcement in Portland last Tuesday. Oh, this is even before the holiday weekend. They vandalized businesses, lit fires along the road. And then listen to how the Daily Wire reports this. The riot happened after a separate peaceful rally had taken place earlier. Gee, that's the same pattern all the riots have. There's always an unrelated peaceful rally. No one would ever think to relate those two. No, it's these bad guys. They come and with their helmets and their body armor after we all march peacefully with our T-shirts with the communist fist shouting Marxist slogans. And then before you know it, a riot breaks out. And then, you know, people get hurt. People get killed. From the insurrection file, we've got British Black Lives Matter activist Sasha Johnson is checking in with us this week from intensive care. Why? She was shot in the head. There's not many things more satisfying to read than a Black Lives Matter activist was shot in the head. Oh, is that offensive? I don't want to offend anyone, but listen to what her rhetoric is like. Last summer, British BLM leader Sasha Johnson said, "The police is no different from the KKK." Mm-hmm. She also is quoted as saying, "The white man will not be our equal. He will be our slave." I can't do a black British accent. That's yeah, not...
That's southern.
Should I just do black? I'm just going to stick with black. Let's see.
British.
What's that? Be British, okay. In response to the British government's Commission on Race and Ethnic Disparities, okay, right there. I mean, they have a Commission on Race and Ethnic Disparities. So it's obvious that the Marxists have already conquered England, Anyway, what did she say about the commission? She said they need hanging is what they need. Anyway, she was shot not by white supremacists or neo-Nazis. She was shot by five black guys in a spate of gang violence. So anyway, all we know, we don't know exactly what the all the circumstances were, but all the suspects who were arrested were black. Gangbangers. And that's from the ironic insurrection file, I guess you'd call that. You know, a little dark irony. But, and I don't mean that in the sense of melanin content of the skin, which I don't want to offend anyone. When I say dark irony, it's just because it involves someone being shot. That's kind of dark. I don't need to correct myself. Let's move on deeper into the insurrection file. Where I got this from Breitbart, the Joint Special Operations Command. That's a secretive component of the United States military. You know, the special forces, the snake eaters, right? They're being encouraged to attend conferences on diversity, equity, and inclusion, among other topics, some of which may even discuss war fighting, possibly, in between conferences on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Now, this isn't just an allegation. Breitbart published links to the actual emails. You can go read them. The emails from the JSOC Civilian Training Office come from April and May of 2021. One of them reminded personnel that they have, hey, you have access to the conferences at no cost. Normally, to go to a conference on diversity, equity, and inclusion costs $500 per person. Really? Okay. You know, I'll bet there are corporations shilling out that kind of money to these Marxist agitators. How do you think BLM made $100 million, huh? Setting up conferences on diversity and equity. Anyway, they remind them that this is all free, and here's what you get. You get a here's one of the workshops. Inclusive leadership for building equitable organizations. Psychological safety and belonging. How to kill the enemy silently and escape. Oh no, that's not in here. No, oh, I'm sorry. I had that confused with restorative justice, community trauma, and the partisan divide. And finally, racism, white supremacy, and anti-racism. Anti-racism? Really? Did I read that right? I did. An earlier email said, these opportunities do count towards your continuous learning credit hours. So you see, when you're in the military and in certain fields, not all, but certain ones, there's a requirement for continuing education. In order to maintain your rank and your pay grade and to advance to the next rank, you have to get these credit hours. And so they've included these in the... All right, it's just disgusting. And so anyway, the word anti-racism that's in there, that means this was all put together by the Marxist agitators at groups like Black Lives Matter. And it has infiltrated our military, ladies and gentlemen. It has infiltrated our military. Marxist dogma. And here, there's other exercises. Listen to this. This is shocking. From the Decline and Fall file, defense contractor Lockheed Martin, they were basically caught. Christopher Rufo, R-U-F-O, uncovered some documents of a three-day Zoom seminar held by the diversity consulting firm White Men as Full Diversity Partners. We specialize in helping white males awaken together.
Yeah.
Huh? Okay, I'm not even going to go there. I'm just going to move on. The session began with a free association exercise, asked employees to list what they associate with the term white men. And then the trainers wrote down old racist, privileged, anti-women, angry, Aryan Nation, founding fathers, guns, guilty, and can't jump. Can't jump? Really? All right. They listed key white male culture characteristics. Mm-hmm. Here's what they are. A can-do attitude, a tendency to rugged individualism, a focus on hard work, action, and task completion. Okay, and listen to this. Adding that this type of hierarchy has a devastating effect on those who don't fit in the group norm. Okay, did you get that? So anyone uncomfortable with a can-do attitude, a tendency to rugged individualism, and a focus on hard work, action, and task completion might have their feelings hurt because they're not, like, into that. It's not my thing. I'm not like that. I mean, hard work? Really? So basically, being a hardworking white dude is offensive in and of itself, apparently. Employees were then required to repeat and internalize 168 different white, male, and heterosexual statements, including, I can use the word whom without appearing pretentious. I can commit acts of terrorism, violence, and crime and not have it attributed to my race. If I am heterosexual, it's highly unlikely that I'll ever be beaten up by a spouse or a lover. All right, so this is straight up Marxist. This is a Marxist psychological operations exercise. And Lockheed Martin is voluntarily taking part and inflicting it upon other workers at the defense. Folks, I think the insurrection is over. The insurrection is over. The coup happened. And here we sit on the other side. Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us. We're gonna move on from the coup d'etat occurring in the military and the defense contractors and the Black Lives Matter and all of that. Deeper even into the insurrection file, where Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors has cashed in and is moving on. Yes, to bigger and more lucrative things. This is according to AmericanConservativeMovement.com. Patrice Cullors, she says, I have resigned so I can focus on a book and TV deal. Yeah, a book and TV deal. So that might be the only thing that saves us from a descent into a Marxist hellscape would be the greed of the... Right, the greed and hypocrisy of people like Patrice Cullors. Although Barack Obama and Michelle Obama were also Marxists, and they didn't mind getting very wealthy. And nobody really held them to account when they got super mega rich wealthy. All the socialists still worship at the altar of Barack and Michelle Obama, even though they should have discredited themselves amongst the... Amongst the people they claim to do good for. Mm-hmm. Well, Patrice Cullors, Black Lives Matter co-founder, says, I've created the infrastructure. I feel like the time is right for me to make a whole lot of money. No, well, I added that last part, but she says she's built the infrastructure, and I mean, I just read you how Lockheed Martin and the Joint Special Operations Command are basically implementing the talking points that Patrice and her fellow travelers, Marxist agitators, have built. So she makes a good point. I can't really argue that she certainly has built the infrastructure. Yeah, she says, I put in the necessary bones and foundations so that I can leave now. Uh-huh. And then we're reminded by AmericanConservativeMovement.com that there has been a significant controversy over the group's finances. That's right. You'll remember we reported here how, well, she started buying houses, really nice houses in really nice neighborhoods like the Topanga Canyon. And, you know, with gates and locks and stuff. Not exactly a socialist move, exactly, but, you know, kind of depends on how you want to define socialism. She says her departure is not tied to any of those attacks. I've been attacked for buying these houses. All I was doing was buying some real estate, which is a fine Soviet socialist concept. Karl Marx would have liked to come over to my house. It's a nice house. Carl had a pretty nice place, too. Anyway, she says that stories about her buying real estate and apparently the public records of those sales, those were right-wing attacks that tried to discredit my character, and I don't operate off of what the right thinks about me. All right, her organization, Black Lives Matter, took in nearly $100 million in 2020. $100 million. Not exactly socialist. I don't know how many. Maybe they took that $100 million and they divided it evenly amongst themselves. I'm sure that's what happened. All right. So we go from Patrice to the IAEA. The IAEA chief, even. This comes to us from the Rumors of War file, where the director general of the International Atomic Energy Agency says that the Islamic Republic of Iran has already reached bomb-building capability in terms of enriched uranium purity levels. So let that one sink in. I said this, I think it was less than 3 months ago, that if Iran is allowed to continue doing what it's doing, once you reach a certain percentage with this uranium enrichment, the last percentage is like days or weeks. Well, they are there now. They're over 60%. The chief, Rafael Grossi, says that Iran has reached uranium purity levels that, quote, only countries making bombs are reaching, unquote. So, and then this is Zero Hedge Report. I'm sorry, maybe this is Financial Times. I can't tell if this is a pullout from Financial Times or if this is what the folks at Zero Hedge wrote. But they say that that Iran has been ramping up enrichment since Trump pulled out of the Obama deal. Okay, so that's ludicrous to write that. First of all, we don't know how long they've been ramping up or down enrichment. All we know about the Iranians is they're hell-bent on getting a bomb. And Trump pulling out of that deal or Barry Ho making that deal, none of that really matters much at all. They've been ramping up uranium enrichment anytime the Jews didn't waste their centrifuges or send spyware into their computers. The only time Iran is not ramping up uranium enrichment is when someone is physically stopping them. It has nothing to do with Donald Trump signing something or Barack Obama signing something. It doesn't mean anything. So whoever wrote that is just naive. Anyway, enriching to 60%, why do they think that's only for bombs? Well, here's the deal. Commercial enrichment for the production of electricity is between 2 and 3%. 2 to 3% in order to make nuclear fuel. 60% is only for one thing, that's for bombs. Now, while the IAEA chief, Rafael Grossi, pointed out that he personally believes that Iran is ready now to make a bomb, He also defends Iran's sovereign right to do so. And so anyone associated with any governing body or any regulatory body that defends Iran's sovereign right to acquire a nuclear bomb should be arrested and thrown in a jail cell and prepared to be put on trial. Anyway, the IAEA thinks that Iran has the right to make a bomb. Barack Obama thought Iran had a right to make a bomb. So all these insane people. Barack just thought he could put them on the slow track to getting a bomb. But they all think that, look, criminally insane maniacs who've enslaved their country do not deserve to get a bomb. They have no sovereign authority. They're a criminal gang that seized power. They should be ruthlessly rooted out and defeated, if at all possible. All right, now speaking of that criminal gang that seized power, let's go over to Afghanistan, where the Taliban is preparing to take over the government. Why? Well, we'll get to that. Donald Trump negotiated an agreement with the Taliban on his way out the door between the Trump administration, the Taliban, and the alleged legitimate government of Afghanistan. Under which American forces would vacate the country by May of this year. Should have already happened. What was the deal? Donald Trump said our troops will leave in exchange for the Taliban agreeing not to attack American forces. It's the art of the deal, you know? That's a very artful deal. Then Joe Biden came into office, was installed after the election was stolen and a coup occurred. Joe Biden was installed by the ever-present forces of darkness, and he has promised now that all troops will leave by September 11th, 2021. Now, the Taliban, according to this Breitbart report, the Taliban controls over half the country and a little under 60% of the total population are living under the control of the Taliban in Afghanistan right now today. So here's the question. Who won that war in Afghanistan between the allies and the Taliban? I would say the answer is the same as every war since 1945, not us. We did not win that war. So, yeah. And I remember people saying that, well, we destroyed the Taliban as the government. Really? Okay, well, we'll see about that come November. If the Taliban has indeed been destroyed and is no longer the government in Afghanistan. We will see. All right, meanwhile, let's go to the last great man file. One of my daughters asked, Daddy, who was the last good president? And I said it was Dwight Eisenhower. Well, in his farewell address, you all remember he warned us about the military-industrial complex, right? And of course, we all remember that because just like redstate.com says, it's because all the historians are mostly leftist and they hate the military, so they love it when a guy like Dwight Eisenhower warns us about the military-industrial complex and they repeat it and they repeat it and they repeat it. And that's what this speech has become known as. But there's other stuff in here. There's other stuff besides just the statement Eisenhower made that we must guard against unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex. We all know that part. But, that's where the leftist historians kind of left off there. Left off, if you know what I mean. But Eisenhower said a few more things in that farewell speech in 1961. He said, today, the solitary inventor tinkering in his shop has been overshadowed by task forces of scientists in laboratories and testing fields. The prospect of domination of the nation's scholars by federal employment, project allocation, and the power of money is ever present and is gravely to be regarded. Yet, in holding scientific research and discovery in respect as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy itself could become the captive of a scientific technological elite. I'm holding out for a hero till the end of the night. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. Yes, 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 the elite, indeed. All right. So I feel like we've been held captive by the elite. We have been. And as I went to went traveling around to various places where mask mandates have been lifted, and it looks like half of the people, about half, maybe a little less, in some places a little more. I think maybe in Whole Foods it's like 80%, and at the gun shop it's like 20%. But there's a certain portion of the population who are never going to be released. They're perpetual hostages of the scientific and technological elites, who basically scared the hell out of everybody for a year and a half, and it worked for about half the people. So I guess normal is going to be half the people still wear masks and look at you as if you're a violent felon if you don't wear a mask. And people ask you if you're vaccinated. Have you gotten the vaccine? Oh, have you had an enema recently? That's my new one. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I edited that story, he said, to his extremely attractive audio engineer. See, I told that story in front of my kids, and so I changed it a little bit. I exercised a little editorial liberty with that. Because when she asked me in front of a group of people I didn't know if I'd gotten the vaccine, I asked her, "Do you have gonorrhea?" That's what I actually said. Which is, anyway. But I already told that story on the air. If you didn't get a chance to listen to it, go back and look a couple shows ago and one show ago. Last show that I posted when I guest hosted with Bob Enyart in Denver. Check it out. All right. So normal doesn't look normal to me. It doesn't. No, the levels of fear and superstition. And you know what there is now is there's the ever-present lingering concern that this could all happen again, that we could all be locked down again. And because of that, there can be no return to what we had as normal. But maybe that's the way it has to be. I mean, you can't butcher nearly 100 million innocent people and then just go on as if everything's normal and fine. There's going to be consequences for that. And we're just at the opening salvo of the consequences. The consequences for the people who committed the murders and the consequences for the people who stood by silently or even tacitly supported or just chose to look away. There's consequences for all of that. And this is just the first great shaking. There's more to come. There's much more to come. From the Decline and Fall file, a new survey says that 6% of Americans hold a biblical worldview. 6%. Yes. Now, how many people claim to be Christians? 51% claim they hold a biblical worldview. But who did this research here? I have it here. The Family Research Council, in partnership with Barna's Meta Information Inc. Barna's. What they did was they said, who identifies as someone with a biblical worldview? 51% said they did. So then they followed up with a number of questions designed to weed out who actually has a Christian worldview. And it turns out it's only 6% of us. And that sounds about right to me. Might even be a little high. Anyway, listen to this. The people who claim that they're Christians, of the people who claim they're Christians, 49% of them, did I say Christian? I'm sorry, I didn't mean Christian. They claim they have a biblical worldview, which 90% of the people they asked probably had to go look that up to see what that is. What does that mean? Anyway, out of the 50% who said that they had a biblical worldview, 49% accept reincarnation as a possibility after they die. So there's half of them gone right there. And then they just kept whittling it down, I guess, with follow-up questions. And yeah, it's about 6% of us. So 94% of Americans essentially reject the Bible as the foundation of their worldview. 94%. So that just doesn't bode well for the future of civilization, Western or otherwise. And because of all that, by the way, we go now into the aliens file. That's right. Aliens, I said. We've been talking about them. That's right. You heard it all week, and now you'll hear it at the beginning of this week. The UFO report is coming out. That's right. The government is going to tell us everything they know about UFOs. Why? Because Donald Trump signed a law ordering via the Defense Intelligence Authorization Act. I'm sorry, the Intelligence Authorization Act, signed by Donald Trump, a 5,500-page document on how to waste money and squander the wealth of a generation. And then there are parts about actually defending America and the military. There is some of that in there. But mostly it's the other. And anyway, the law that Trump signed mandates that the Director of National Intelligence, work with the Secretary of Defense on a report detailing everything the government knows about unidentified flying objects. No, wait. Unidentified flying objects. And so the report's getting ready to come out. The law says the report must be made public. And the Washington Post tells us that when it becomes public, it will be big. Former Intelligence Director John Ratcliffe said that in a recent interview. Anyway, listen to what they go on with this. There are instances where we don't have a good explanation for some of the things we've seen. No kidding. That's why they're called unidentified. You know, we don't have a good explanation. Kind of goes into we understand that there's unexplained phenomena. Anyway, officials have until June to deliver lawmakers their write-up on UFOs. But the Post reminds us agencies have missed similar congressional reporting deadlines in the past, and the provision that they must submit their report by June, that actually is technically not legally binding. It's like the whole social distancing recommendation, you know, drawn up under George W. Bush. It was all relatively meaningless and not really of no import, you know, until a situation arises by which it can be used to dupe the gullible and secure more power for the criminal gang that has seized power, apparently in the whole world. Yeah, apparently in the whole world. I think they're locking Hong Kong down again as we speak. There's countries right now locking down again for some fourth or fifth wave of some variant that everyone's freaking out about. Okay, but that wasn't the point of all that. It was that the real point was the aliens. Anyway, I've joked about it for years that when Darwinian evolution collapses under the weight of the observable evidence, they're going to break out the aliens, and by golly, I think they're going to actually show us one, and people are going to believe it. He'll probably be wearing a mask, right? Goggles. Gloves. You're driving his Subaru. All right. That's the aliens. They're on their way. Now, from there, let us go to the Straight to Hell file, where Kevin Spacey is going straight to hell, but not before having a comeback in his acting career. He's going to play a detective investigating a false claim of pedophilia, is Kevin Spacey. This is from The Independent, and they remind us that, first, Kevin Spacey is an Oscar winner. Okay, that's... Then, after that, they remind us that he's been accused by at least 20 men, one of them 14 years old, of what they call sexual misconduct. What is that? What does that word mean? That is a word that, a psycho babbler came up with to soften the edges around what Kevin Spacey was actually accused of, which was groping, molestation, and rape. That's what sexual misconduct. Okay. All right, now we go to the politics file, where we'll check in with Kevin McCarthy, squishy, soft Republican. One of the chief architects of the destruction of America, Kevin McCarthy. He's upset at Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, another Republican. He's mad at her because she's equating mask wearing and receiving coronavirus vaccines to the Holocaust. That's according to Breitbart. And so I read that and I said, wait a second. I don't think Marjorie Taylor Greene actually compared the masks and the vaccines and the cults around it to the Holocaust. That's not what she said. She compared the wearing of the masks and the receiving of the coronavirus cult to the cult that ran Germany during the time of the Holocaust and shortly before is really what I think she was implying. And so the Republicans all freaked out, and Kevin McCarthy officially condemned her language. Anyway, here's what she actually said in the interview. Green said, Pelosi is mentally ill, which is a pretty good opening line. She says, we can look back in a time in history where people were told to wear a gold star, and they were definitely treated like second-class citizens. So much so that they were put into trains and taken to gas chambers in Nazi Germany. And this is exactly the type of abuse that Nancy Pelosi is talking about. This is Nancy Pelosi making the House members wear their masks even though they're all vaccinated. Number one, making them all get vaccinated. Number two, making them wear the mask anyways. And that is the same type of delusional behavior that can lead to the murder of millions of people. So Marjorie Taylor Greene makes a good point, and Kevin McCarthy dutifully and predictably flips out over it and tries to suck up to the leftist Marxists who are about to murder 100 million people. What does Kevin McCarthy want to be their friend for? What does he think they're going to donate to his congressional campaign? Get out of here, McCarthy. What a loser. What a loser. It's no wonder we've lost the country. If that's the caliber of our leadership, it's just no wonder. Now, we go into the widespread panic file where General Flynn, Michael Flynn, he gave an interview and he said, I believe it's regarding the coronavirus and its origins. He says, I believe what we are going to find is that this was a weaponized operation by the nation of China. And that the coronavirus outbreak was some kind of attack. But he also stated that it could have occurred mistakenly. And so here's the thing, Mike. If this virus was indeed engineered in a lab to be more virulent, well, that experiment failed because it only kills sick old people. I mean, maybe once in a blue moon it makes a younger, healthy person sick or even makes them die. Maybe. But this kills old, sick people. And so if you're creating a weapon to destroy the enemy's army, well, it needs to kill young, healthy men is what it needs to kill. Or these days, young, healthy, transgendered people in the military. Young, healthy, anti-racists and diversity consultants. So maybe China doesn't have to worry about killing our army anymore. They'll just diversify them and anti-racism them. Anyway, so this virus was not engineered in a lab, but I believe it did occur due to sloppy communist standards of, you stick a lab full of dangerous. According to Summit News, a deadly virus leaked from a China lab is not unprecedented. SARS escaped a Chinese virology lab twice. That's right, twice. So, call me just level-headed and common sense. It seems fairly obvious that the virus escaped from a lab, probably unintentionally, but thank heaven wasn't quite as bad as we were told by all the people who wanted us to panic. It's the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the final segment as we round third and head for home, a professor at Johns Hopkins University says that there's a general dismissal of the fact that more than half of all Americans have developed natural immunity to the coronavirus and that it constitutes one of the biggest failures of our current medical leadership. That's quoting Dr. Marty Makary during a recent interview. He noted that natural immunity works, and it's wrong to vilify those who don't want the vaccine. Yeah, natural immunity works. That's one of the foundational precepts of medicine that everyone in medicine decided to forget about all at once. It's really weird. Well, this Dr. Marty, he didn't forget. He says, please ignore the CDC guidance and live a normal life. Unless you are unvaccinated and did not have an infection, in which case you need to be careful. So even this guy is, you know, somewhat delusional about this particular virus. Be careful? What? Well, how am I supposed to be careful against a respiratory virus? I mean, if you public health officials would simply quarantine the sick like we've always done for like 5,000 years. Because washing your hands and walking one way only down the aisle at the store and wearing your mask and washing your hands and wearing your goggles. Walking to the other side and holding your breath when you pass somebody on the... that none of that helps. You can't be careful. What a delusional... Even the guy I'm trying to quote as saying something logical has to say something stupid and foolish. Because we've just all collectively, I mean, except me and about a half a dozen other people I've talked to, we've all just decided to just cleave ourselves from all of human history. As if none of that before ever happened. And this is a whole new, brave new world. All right. Let's go now to Hong Kong. Where this will be known as the cloth curtain, or maybe the silk curtain. I'm not sure how. You remember the speech given by Winston Churchill. He said, an iron curtain has descended across the continent. Well, now there's a cloth curtain descending across the east, or maybe a silk curtain. Hong Kong police cited coronavirus restrictions in order to ban the vigil commemorating the Tiananmen Square massacre in 1989. You know, the coronavirus has become a very convenient excuse for all kinds of things. Some of them quite nefarious, this being one of them. By the way, this annual memorial of Tiananmen Square has been going on in Hong Kong for 30 years. It was never canceled until last year. After the 30th anniversary was, well, it was a really big deal throughout China and Hong Kong, the 2019 30th anniversary. And the Chinese government really didn't like people being reminded that 30 years ago they rolled the tanks over the protesters. And so, and you remember that this national security law was imposed on Beijing, or by Beijing, I'm sorry, on Hong Kong. Last June, well, the security law, along with the coronavirus restrictions, have cleared out all those protesters. Do you remember how big the protests had gotten by the summer of 2019? The protests were huge, and the Chinese government was teetering, perhaps. I mean, we don't know the internal politics. We don't know what exactly was going on in China. But China, like every other dictatorship, like every other criminal gang, they know that they could lose power in a moment and be strung up in the streets by the people. So they ended it. And it just so happens that the virus escaped the lab right when all that was going on. I really don't know. I just know that Tiananmen Square protest had never been banned until 2020 under coronavirus. Let's see, Newsmax. I hate Newsmax. Why am I getting a story for that? They have an article shilling for the vaccine for teenagers. I was disgusted. Anyway, Newsmax says the life in Hong Kong has largely returned to normal since the outbreak. Really? Now you just did a whole article on how the Beijing tyrants have stopped the protests and stopped the annual memorial for Tiananmen Square, and then you say it's largely returned to normal. I guess largely means all except the, you know, the freedom stuff, the liberty stuff. But other than that, it's returned to normal. I mean, you can go to a restaurant now, wear your mask as you walk to your table, and sit down and eat. That's good enough for you people, right? You get your bread and your circuses, and everything's normal. Put on your mask. Oh, also, largely normal in Hong Kong, the government still restricts outdoor gatherings to no more than four people. And there's some people who suspect that might be to break up protests. Maybe. But we all know it's about health and safety. This year, Beijing is celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Communist Party, and they don't want it disrupted by anything else. And so the silk curtain has descended around Hong Kong. And it is descending upon Taiwan. We'll see. So from now, let's get away from all this talk and go to the Queering of America file, where Kellogg's, which is a cereal maker, is, according to WorldNet Daily, they're indoctrinating children before breakfast. Yes, they've released the Together with Pride cereal products, encouraging children to pick their own pronouns. Kellogg's released a news release on this. So to talk about the definition of pride is to release a news release so that everybody can pay attention to how proud you are of what you've just done. Here's the press release. Kellogg's new Together with Pride cereal will create opportunities for homes and families to have conversations about the importance of acceptance, compassion, and understanding, especially when it comes to LGBTQ+ youth. Unquote. Oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't a press release. That was the glad president and CEO, Sarah. Oh, I should have read it like this. Well, whenever I see glad, I always think it's a homo guy, but anyway. That was Sarah. And she goes on to say, Kellogg's is building an ongoing commitment to spotlight the importance of using correct pronouns to create safe and welcoming spaces for trans and non-binary people. That's Sarah over at Glad. All right, so the cereal boxes in the morning are now trying to, well, that's a criminal act. The doors at Kellogg should be kicked in and their executives should be hauled out of there in handcuffs, with their suitcase over their faces in shame. And from there, we go to reason number 1,203 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Eight people, including an adult, stormed a classroom and attacked a 14-year-old girl at a public high school in Guilford County, North Carolina. It was 9:45 in the morning when six students, including an 18-year-old and a 37-year-old parent, stormed into the room to attack a student over I don't know what. Nobody quite knows what. Anyway, listen to this. The police officer who stays at the school, he's called a SRO, a student resource officer. Uh-huh. That's what they call it. That's a very Soviet title. I'm the student resources officer. When really what he is, he's the cop who has to be there because of all the violence known to occur there. That's really why I'm here, is because we know that people get shot here on a fairly regular basis. But what I really want to be is a resource to students, you know, especially when one of them starts shooting all the others. I'll be a resource. Anyway, the SRO says, oh, to think they would bring that type of activity to a school was very disturbing. Okay, really? They have an armed police officer stationed there because of all the violence. And you think it's shocking that violence... Okay. Anyway, the student resource officer, Captain Brian Hall, also said, quote, I think this reinforces the need to have officers in the schools, unquote, which is how I make my salary. And yeah, maybe my brother-in-law needs a job. You know, maybe he could get an application. All right. And then we have a quote here from, this is hapless mother Misty. She says, it's very infuriating and frustrating as a parent that I cannot even trust that my son is safe at school. I don't want to be the recipient of a phone call one day whose child suffered being attacked or being shot. I don't want that to happen to anybody else either. Okay. All right, Mom. You just go ahead. You go ahead, Mom. You send your son in there after feeling like you're concerned that he could be shot. You're still going to send him there. For me, that's reason number 1,203, that I did not, nor shall I ever feed my children into the public school monster machine. I won't do it. And from there, we go into the politics file, where the leftist mob, the maniacs, the Marxists, the queers, the perverts, the deviants, the agitators, are going after Chip and Joanna Gaines again. You remember they found out they weren't queer and they were really mad at them about that. But somehow Chip and Joanna managed to navigate the woke cancel mob and remain heterosexual. Somehow they managed to do that. Probably they promised to never talk about it again. Or they promised not to hold hands, right? No peck on the cheek, none of that. We're going to go totally asexual on the show so we don't offend all the queers and the perverts. But anyway, now they're mad at them because they've donated $1,000 to a school board candidate who criticizes critical race theory. So they gave to a political campaign of someone who basically believes all men should be judged by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. And so now the woke, Marxist, queer, LGBTQIQ plus mob, they hate him now, again. So Twitter has exploded against Chip and Joanna Gaines. All right. The candidate they donated to called critical race theory the single most divisive threat that we have in education. Okay, well, really? I mean, divisive? So, first of all, we teach the children that they evolved from nothing and that there is no God and they should have sex with whomever they please, that they can even change their sex and then have sex with the opposite sex or the same sex. Anyway, critical race theory is, here's the thing. Critical race theory is one amongst many threats that the children in the government schools face. Godlessness being the number one threat. And then all the perversion, the deviancy, and all of that, okay? That's got a whole list. But then critical race theory comes in, teaching children to hate each other or themselves based on race. Well, here's the thing. That's way more than divisive. Is that all our politicians can say? It's divisive. Well, divisive isn't that bad. It's not that big of a deal to be divisive. Critical race theory is corrosive of the human spirit. It's destructive of humanity. It's far more than just divisive. It needs to be eradicated with extreme prejudice. Critical race theory is a criminal philosophy that will get 100 million people killed. It's so divisive. Get out of here with that. You know, go find me a politician who's willing to stand up and speak the truth about this. I wouldn't give $1,000 to that milquetoast. I mean, Chip and Joanna, I appreciate where your heart is, but there's probably nobody you can donate out to out there who's actually running for political office. Anyone who has, I'm not sure how to put this, but anyone who has made that deal with the devil, so that they're going to run for public office, they've already disqualified themselves from from whatever office they seek. They've disqualified themselves. I'm sorry. If you're willing to seek that office, by nature of that in this system, you are unqualified. All right, from there, we go to the widespread panic file where a British national was hospitalized in Greece for a thrombotic episode after she got the coronavirus vaccine. Well, she has died. And she was a model named Stephanie Dubois, 39 years old. She had just posted on her Facebook page Quote, maybe I'm having a prolonged reaction to my COVID jab last week. That was when she first went to the hospital on May 14th, but within 10 days she was dead. No underlying health issues that anyone knew of. She suffered a brain hemorrhage, was in a coma before she died. So, the European Medicines Agency says it will investigate whether her death was related to the vaccine. Another 40-year-old was hospitalized with a thrombotic episode. Three other thrombotic. So I know that tens of millions of people have received this vaccine, and maybe only 10,000 have died. But to me, that's too much. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. Anyway, there's been an unprecedented number of adverse events, and long term, who knows? I just don't know. Our mRNA may be the greatest idea to ever hit medicine. It might turn out to be a really tragically, catastrophically, but we just don't know. And so, I'll just move on because I don't want to talk about it. From the Real Science File, Alaska's Great Sitkin Volcano erupted last week. That's right, spewed ash up into the atmosphere over 15,000 feet. And listen to this. Experts say additional explosions are possible. That's an expert. It's a volcano. It's erupting now. And additional explosions are possible. Trust me, I have a degree. Okay. Anyway, volcano activity has picked up this year, it looks like. Iceland, St. Vincent in the Caribbean, Japan's Sakurajima, and Mount Nyiragongo in the Congo. Nyiragongo in the Congo. That volcano is also... So the question remains, according to Zero Hedge, the reporters over at Zero Hedge, what is driving increasing volcanic activity? What could it be? I don't know, but that's certainly something the government could be spending more money on than they are on diversity training and anti-racism and woking white men. And well, how about we study and find out what's going on with the volcanoes? You know why? Well, I don't know why. I don't know why the government doesn't spend enormous amounts of money doing what they are supposed to do. You could hire a bunch of your relatives and do that. I wouldn't complain as much. No. Well, you know what I think is increasing volcanic activity? You know what I think it is? You're going to think this is... Well, I don't care what you think. I think it's the shedding of innocent blood. The shedding of innocent blood is directly related to increased earthquake and volcanic activity. That's what I believe. And I believe one day the scientific connection will be shown to us and it will be so obvious that all of our jaws will drop and we'll be like, how did we not see that? That's it, folks. It's the Weekly Worldview. Thank you for tuning in. I want to end the show, but I can't remember how. I want to thank my friends at American Right to Life. And I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio and the Personhood Alliance. And, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview Studio, should the Lord tarry, we will return. And until then, may the grace of God go with you and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.